Well, you folks are in fellowship mode tonight.
That's good. That's good. I'll try not to keep you very long. We're going to be in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians tonight. 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament, chapter 5, and we begin in verse 9. We've got a lot of material to cover, but we're not going to spend a great deal of time on any one part of it. Or that's the plan at the moment. We're going to begin in verse 9 and continue down through the rest of this chapter. And we will be moving through it rather quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 9. The Word of God tells us, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God for your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you tonight and as we begin to look at these verses, I just pray that you would speak through me this evening, that your Spirit would guide my thoughts and my words. And Lord, that everyone that has come out this evening might be rewarded with a blessing to be in your house and to have the Word of God brought forth. We thank you for Jesus Christ, for this wonderful salvation that has been provided for us through our Lord. And God, we ask that you would bless your Word tonight. Open our hearts as we approach the throne of grace. We ask your blessing in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes this book to the church at Thessalonica. He had founded this church on his second missionary journey. He had only been in Thessalonica a little over 3 weeks. But during that time, he founded this church, preached the gospel, led people to Christ, and prepared men for leadership. And now he writes this letter to the church in answer to some of their questions. And he wants them to understand some things about the future. He wants them to understand the coming of Jesus Christ. He wants them to understand that the church is going to be taken from this world by Christ, but he wants them to also understand that Jesus is going to physically come back to this world and establish his kingdom. We don't have a great deal of time tonight to go into all aspects of this, but we're going to just touch upon it briefly, because this fifth chapter deals with the coming, or the second coming, of Jesus Christ. And as we come to verse 9, it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." One thing that the church struggles with today is whether or not it will go through the tribulation, whether it will see this time of Jacob's trouble that the Bible speaks so freely of. But Paul teaches us here that the church will not. The church is not going to be here during that time. The church is going to be removed. We have not been appointed unto wrath. The church of Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, saved by Jesus Christ, preserved by Jesus Christ, will be taken away by Jesus Christ. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." There is no other way to be saved tonight. In spite of what the world might tell you, in spite of what societies and cultures might tell you, the Bible is very clear. There is only one way that a man or a woman can be saved, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We must come through Christ. Why? Because He died for us. Look at verse 10. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. In other words, whether we are alive on the face of this earth and we are walking in Christ because He has indwelt us by His Spirit, or we have passed on, whether we have died, and yet He calls it sleeping here, but the child of God does not die. The child of God merely passes through the valley of the shadow of death, and the angels of God whisk him into the presence of Jesus Christ, and he has eternal life. What a hope and promise we have in Christ Jesus tonight. Knowing this, having come to the end of this particular book or this letter that Paul has written, he tells us these things. He prepares us for the coming of Jesus, for his church, and then for the coming of Jesus at the end of that tribulation period to establish his kingdom. And he begins verse 11 with the words, "Wherefore, knowing that we will one day stand in the presence of Jesus Christ who died for us." One day we are going to stand face to face with Christ our Savior, and we will give an account of our lives. Wherefore, knowing this, he is now going to reveal to us 22 things that he wants us to do. Now, there is much said in the Old Testament about the law. The law was given to the nation of Israel, and it was crowned by 10 particular commandments. We all know the 10 commandments of God. We've read about them even before we come to know Christ. We've seen the 10 commandments of God. We've heard different aspects of the 10 commandments of God. Because every nation on the face of this earth has incorporated the 10 commandments of God into their laws. Every government, they might reject the God of the Bible, but they know His law. They have incorporated much of what are in the 10 commandments into the laws of their lands. You and I tonight as Christians, if you are here tonight and you have asked Christ to be your Savior, you have asked for forgiveness of your sins, and you are a Christian, there are 22 things here that God would like to have you know about how to serve Him and how to honor Him with your life. And that's why He combines what He has just told us about the death and the resurrection and the salvation of Jesus Christ for you and I. He combines that now and brings us with the word wherefore. Knowing this wonderful truth, the first thing that God wants us to do is comfort yourselves together. The word comfort means work together. Or can you imagine what the church of Jesus Christ could accomplish if we would simply work together and stop fighting and arguing among ourselves and arguing about minor points which have no basis upon our salvation? We spend so much time, and Satan provides all the fodder and all the ammunition that we need to get us to take our eyes away from the Lord Jesus Christ and put it upon each other. And we spend so much time attacking one another that we not only attack one another, we attack the integrity of what Jesus Christ stands for. And so we have supplanted what God's desire is for His church with what is our desire for His church. Comfort yourselves together. Work together. And then it says, edify one another, even as also ye do. Build each other up. The word edify means build each other up. When was the last time you just came by a dear brother or sister in Christ, put your arm around their shoulder and said, "I'm praying for you. I want you to know that. Is there anything I can do to help?" Build up the brethren. Build up the church of God. If we would spend just half as much time building it up as we do tearing it down, much to our own shame. Edify one another, even as also ye do. One thing that Paul did was encourage the people of Thessalonica, because he commended them for the fact that they did build each other up. This was a church that built one another up, and he encouraged them in that. And then he goes on to say, "And we beseech ye, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." to know them or respect them, which God has raised up to be leaders of His people. There are some leaders in the church today who only care about themselves. But there are godly men that God has raised up that spend a great deal of their time praying for the saints and working with the saints and helping the saints. And it is our responsibility as Christians to recognize those men, to pray for those men, and to thank God for those men, to know them and respect them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Examine the works of the leaders of the church to determine where their heart is and what they are trying to accomplish, whether it is for them or for Jesus Christ. The fifth thing that he tells us to do is be at peace among yourselves, to honor God's order in the church. There's nothing that is more destructive to the church of Jesus Christ than for people to attack the leadership, attack the integrity of their leaders, to split their churches, to make demands upon their people, to insult the intelligence of God's Spirit by bringing into play what we desire over what the Word of God demands. We need to be always careful of what we do, why we do it, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and if he is the Prince of Peace, why is it that so many churches are battlegrounds? It's because we have allowed self to take control, and we mock the precious blood of Christ. Verse 14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." This is an important part of any church, any group. We are to make each other accountable before the throne of grace. That's not the best part of the church by any means, but it is a necessary part of the church. Because when we see a brother or a sister who is involved in open sin, it is our place as God's people to come up alongside, not to condemn as much as to bring them back into line, to let them know that what they're doing is wrong. Not to be critical and hateful, but in love, to help them. Warn them. It doesn't say anything here about taking a baseball bat and cleaning house, hurting someone physically and emotionally. It simply says that we are to warn them that are unruly, to let them know that the path that they have chosen is not the path of God. Comfort the feeble-minded, the weak. Comfort the weak. Those that lack confidence, those that lack courage to take a stand, those that find themselves in unfamiliar territory, surrounded by family and friends that want nothing to do with them if they really do stand for Christ. Come alongside of those people and comfort them in their weakness. Help them to be strong. Support the weak. We are in all different aspects, every one of us, at different levels in our walk with Christ. There are new believers here tonight that are babes in Jesus. There are others here who have been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years. And they've walked with the Lord, and they've cried with the Lord, and they've laughed with the Lord, and they've been around a while. And they've learned to trust in spite of the things that go on in their lives. Support the weak. Remember that we do have babes in Christ in this church, and that those of us who are a little older and a little wiser because we have made the same mistakes they're making, we need to come up alongside of them and give them support and help them. And that brings us to the next thing. Be patient toward all men. We need to control our temper. Don't get mad at somebody simply because they've made a mistake in their life. We've all made mistakes in our lives. It's not our place to be God. It's our place to have faith in God. And to work with one another and to love one another and to be patient with one another as we walk in Christ. In verse 15 it says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man." The word revenge should not even be in a Christian's vocabulary. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. On the contrary, we are told to love our enemies. One of the hardest things in the world to do. Someone who hates you and wants to and desires to hurt you and your family. And yet Jesus said, love your enemies. Why? How could Jesus ask us to do such a thing? Because He did. He did. As He was dying on a cross and it was spitting in His face, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He loved them. He was dying for those same people who hated Him as He died. And you and I, we need to understand that the people who hate us, primarily they hate us because they do not understand us. They do not know the God we know. They do not know the Word that we know. They don't know the life that we have chosen to live. And so they don't understand us. They hate us. But we're not to hate them in return because we were once what they are. We are sinners saved by grace, snatched from the fires of hell by the blood of God's Son. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." Follow that which is good. If you're going to follow that which is good, friend, you will find yourself following God, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Joy is not the result of circumstances. Happiness is the result of circumstances. When we find that things are going our way and we seem to have plenty of money for the things that we desire and our job is going well, we just received a promotion at work, we're very fortunate, things seem to be falling into place, we're smiling and we're happy. But joy has nothing to do with that. Joy has to do with that peace of heart and soul that only Christ can give. So that in those moments when you're weeping, through your eyes you're smiling on the inside because you know that Christ is there with you. And He gives you that comfort and that hope that only Christ can give. Rejoice evermore. In the difficulties of life, that is the moment when we need Christ the most, and that's the moment when He's there. Amen? That's when we know that He's real. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. We should always be in an attitude of prayer. We should never forget God. When times are going very well, we have a tendency to forget all about God. But we shouldn't. We should remember that everything that happens to us that is good comes from God. And we should give Him thanks. And we should be praying without ceasing. We should keep Him in the back of our mind and in the front of our heart at all times. Regardless of what we do in the run of the day, everything should always revert back to this precious Savior who has provided a way for us to know God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Now that's tough. Sometimes that's hard to do. When you've just received a phone call and someone that you love dearly is sick or dying. How do we give thanks? Well, we can certainly give thanks if we know that that loved one knows Christ. Because we know that that loved one is soon going to be leaving behind the temptations of this world and the problems of this life and the temptations that have beset them. And they're now going to step into eternity with Jesus Christ and fulfill all of the promises that God has promised them. Yes, we can give thanks even in times like those. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. People have said, well, what does it mean to quench the Spirit? How do you know whether you quench the Spirit or not? Well, stop and think about it. The Spirit of God is holy. Think of quenching the Spirit as of taking a bucket of the worst vile substance that you can think of and dumping it on the holiness of God. That's quenching the Spirit. That is quenching the Spirit. Deliberately sinning when you know what the Word of God tells us. That's quenching the Spirit. Rejecting the counsel of this book to strike off into sin is quenching the Spirit. It's dumping a vile filth on the holiness of God. Quench not the Spirit. Listen to the Word of God. Despise not prophesying. Prophesying speaks of the Word of God being taught and preached. Despise not the Word of God as it's being taught to you, preached to you. As you read the Word of God, you should never despise what you read. You should praise God for what He is sharing with you and allowing you to know. Despise not the preaching of the Word of God. There are cases when I go way too long. Some of my sermons are a little long. Yeah. I would hope that you would never despise the Word of God. You might get a little rankled at me, that's okay. But don't ever get upset with the Word of God because you happen to be sitting in the church, it's a little too warm and I'm running over. Love Christ. It's okay to get a little mad at me once in a while, but just love Christ. Despise not the prophesying of the Word of God. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. In other words, everything that is brought to you, prove it by the Word of God. Know the Word of God well enough to prove all things by what God's Word tells us. Hold fast that which is good. P.T. Barnum made a fortune because he recognized there was a sucker born every minute. Don't be a sucker. Know the Word of God. Don't follow a man just because he tells you that he is anointed of God. Don't follow an organization. Don't follow a religion simply because someone looks the part to you. Prove it through the Word of God. Prove all things, not just a handful of things, but all things through the written Word of God. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If you have doubts about whether or not it is acceptable for you to do something, don't do it. It's very simple. If you're not sure, if you have doubt in the back of your mind as to whether, as a Christian, you should be involved in something, don't do it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Better to be on God's side than on man's side. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mature. What he's telling us here is he wants us to grow up. He wants us to get in the Word of God, read the Word of God, apply the Word of God, and grow up in the Word of God. We can't always be babies in Christ. There comes a time when God has great expectations upon our lives. He has great things that He wants us to accomplish for Him. And we will never accomplish those things if we are satisfied to remain a baby in Christ. We need to grow up and become accountable and mature in the faith. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Trust and depend on the God who has called you. Trust and depend in the Christ who died for you. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Paul was a preacher of righteousness. He was an apostle of the faith. And this great man of God needed prayer. And every pastor in every pulpit needs the prayers of his people. I need your prayers. Brethren, pray for us. There's nothing that Satan desires more than to destroy the leaders of the church, to bring them down before the eyes of the people. And we're only human. I am just a man, and I need your prayers. That's all Paul is saying here. He said, I'm an apostle, but I'm a man. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. That was the culture of that day. In our culture today, we give a warm handshake. But what it means is that when you see a brother in Christ, you should make it a point to go over and welcome that person, talk to that person, encourage that person. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Paul said this is very important things. The church needs to hear this. The church needs to exercise these things in their walk with Christ. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We are here tonight because of the grace of God. It is not that we deserve it. It's nothing that we have done. It is everything that Christ has done, and the grace of our Lord has brought us to this place tonight as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful thing to be a child of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you tonight, and we give you praise and we thank you. We thank you for Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice of your own Son. We thank you for a love that we struggle to understand, a love that was so great toward us as sinners, that long before we even knew about you, cared anything about you, you loved us so much that you would provide a way for us to be saved through your Son. God, I pray tonight for our people. I pray for every person in this church tonight. I pray for those of us who are Christians, Lord, that we would take what we have learned here tonight and use them wisely. I pray for those that are here tonight, Lord, that are struggling, that perhaps didn't fully understand or don't understand what it means to be a Christian. I pray that they would cry out to you right where they sit and ask for forgiveness of their sins, that they might begin a new life in Jesus Christ, that they might have this wonderful hope and the promises of your word. God, I pray. I pray for us as a church, as a people, that we might be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit, and that we might be found faithful in all things. Lord, as we end this service tonight, as we make our way into the Awana room, and as we go in to have a time of fellowship, we ask your blessing upon the food, upon the fellowship, upon this sweet time when brothers and sisters in Christ can come together. And we give you all the praise and all of the glory, because it is because of you that we can do this. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.